the problem.
Morning, guys. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I just sat down, so forgive my out of breath. I was running around in boots, which is a blast to do in Florida in the heat. And I hope you guys had a fantastic weekend. How are you doing today, Wood?
I'm doing great. If it was any better, I have to charge admission.
Yeah?
I mean, life's good. God's good.
What would you charge for the admission? How much people have to pay to hang out with you, to hang out with your life?
Almost a dollar an hour now.
Almost a dollar. You know, sometimes some people might call you greedy.
For a dollar an hour?
No, I was messing with you. It's a pretty good deal if you ask me. Get all kinds of information every day.
Here's a great article. 1 in 4 young people in the world feels lonely.
1 in 4.
Yeah, a study by Gallup and Meta, the global state of social connections, how prevalent loneliness is today. The survey, which interviewed people age 15 plus in 142 countries, basically provides insight for the prevalence of loneliness in different age groups.
Hey, it's even higher. Hold on a second. Can you give me a purple stick?
Purple stick.
You've used all these.
Well, yeah.
I need a fresh box.
I used. I think you give me.
I don't want to open up a box.
Here you go. Here's the purpose of anything.
So I apologize that rude interruption there. Anyways, loneliness, no good. What's happening?
I'm going to backcharge your dollar now.
I got to pay him to hang out with him.
It's even higher among those ages 19 to 29, with 27% of participants experiencing significant levels of loneliness. And, you know, it's 15 to 18, 25%, 19 to 29, 27%.
Wow.
30 to 44, 25%. So a lot of people really feel lonely right now. This is while the coronavirus pandemic increased the feeling of isolation for many people. This data suggests that the loneliness continues to afflict a higher number of people, even now even though lockdowns have passed. Loneliness can have serious health implications with social isolation, having been linked to increased risk of several chronic diseases, including diabetes, dementia, and I want to say this also anxiety, depression, and suicide.
Yeah.
So it's sad to me because, I mean, when you finally get into the real world here and you start to try to get to meet people, you know, if you don't have some type of social outlet where you can actually go out and meet people that are actually high-quality people, it gets very, very frustrating. You know, dating apps are kind of a nightmare to deal with because 90% of the people are fake on those.
And scammers, AI bots, baby.
Pretty much. And so
that's a big money industry now.
Well, no, scamming it is. Because what they want to do, they want to get people's personal information.
That's exactly right. And on your phone number.
Yeah, and then here's another interesting. Joe Rogan makes wild claim about different things we'll cover in a second. And then about Kid Rock. You know, Kid Rock said something on the show the other day that I think was extremely funny.
Kid Rock's wild.
Well, I can't read you everything because he said something kind of, you know, whatever. He says, Kid Rock blames ugly, blank, broke, crazy, liberal women for low U.S. birth rate.
Blank, would that be the biatch?
No, that would be the bottom word.
Oh.
Musician Kid Rock has figured it out why the U.S. birth rate is so low. Ugly, blank, broke, crazy, deranged, total Trump syndrome, liberal women. Speaking with new Fox News, Jesse Waters, the 50-year-old rocker responded to a clip of left-wing protesters say, you look at these rallies like a bunch of women that no guy wants to sleep with and a bunch of dudes that want to sleep with each other.
Oh, gosh.
That's terrible. We have this low birth rate in America, and it's all making sense now. It just hit me right now. He says, because who's going to sleep with these ugly, blank, broke, crazy, deranged, Trump derangement syndrome liberal women? And, you know, I laugh about that because it's so funny. But, you know, I hate to say it, and I'm not talking about having sex outside of marriage. I'm not promoting that at all. But I'm saying that he's right, Austin. I mean, you go to some of these – I mean, I remember when I was up in
the one in D.C.?
D.C. years ago, and I was up there with Harrison and your mom. And I remember they were having this neo-Nazi rally, right?
Yeah.
And there were like 4 neo-Nazi people all dressed in suits, look like Baptist preachers, and they're a bunch of crazy deranged women running around wearing vagina hats like kids.
My favorite were the Antifa with the pipes and the baseball bats.
Oh, yeah. They were marching around. They were marching lockstep down the highway, about 50 of them, you know, like, you know, 10 rows of 5, and they were slamming their hands with steel pipes wearing full masks. And I said, are those the neo-Nazis?
They are.
Oh, no, those are the good guys. I said, they don't look like the good guys. And the neo-Nazis over there wearing suits saying that we need to be able to control, you know, immigration. Got a kick out of all that. And so, you know, we're starting to see all of this crazy stuff as, you know, with Kid Rocks and all the rest of this stuff. And now, and then you see this perfect thing, this female pastor. She's not a female pastor. I think she's a dude. And she goes, is here to tell you that the church, this is not true, by the way, is pro-abortion and pro all other woke things. She is one weird-looking thing. And basically, it's unclear when the pandemic broke of woke pastors who refused the Bible. It became a national thing, but this pastor is here to give you the worst takes. She's gone viral on social media after explaining why she supports abortion, illegal immigration, and just about everything else is wrong with this country. Now, quite frankly, she's the one that Kid Rock is talking about. She's insanely ugly. And you think, well, you shouldn't say that about her. She's not ugly. She's a person. All right. I'm posting the article for you. You tell me what she looks like. She looks like a dude. I think she's a transgender. So if you want to think she's beautiful or whatever, knock yourself out. I think she's insanely ugly. That's my opinion on this. So what do you think, Austin?
Well, speaking of the illegal immigration, all that, you know, I'll talk about here in a second what was going on with the Supreme Court. This is pretty interesting. They kind of messed us up with this one. However, the federal agencies now are warning that states will lose their funding over DEI policies and immigration rules. This is a big deal because this is something we've talked about for years, where a lot of these states, one example being California, that solely relies, I mean, for their survivability on federal grants and all their federal money. Because, I mean, California wouldn't even,
totally broke.
Wouldn't even be a state. I mean, couldn't even function.
It's a communist state.
Yeah, I mean, I think they get somewhere between $100 or $150 billion a year in federal grants in total aggregate. I mean, it's like a tenth of a billion, eighth of a billion. It's some insane amount of money. And so the federal government on 24th said the federal transportation funding will basically, they will cut all ties, all funding, all grants, if policies on illegal immigration and DEI programs do not completely dissolve. It said federal grants come with clear obligation to adhere to federal laws, and essentially, if they do not comply with this, federal grants will no longer exist for them. So this is going to be interesting. You can't sit there and say, well, listen, you can't allow illegals in here, and you can't be sanctuary states, and then the states go, you know, basically screw you, we're going to do it anyways, we don't care what the federal laws are, and we still want $100 billion. And the government goes, okay, where's $100 billion? But you're supposed to listen to us. Yeah, cool story, we're not going to. Here's $100 billion again.
Well, no, and here's the problem that we have. You know, right now we have all this stuff being rolled back.
Right.
And, you know, now they're saying that Biden, you know, the fake president, whatever, basically has cancer. And so he's no longer accountable for anything else.
Well, now they're slamming his cognitive function to that interview. They said he can't even remember his son as far as when he died. He can't remember anything.
Well, he probably can't. And so he's been out of – he never really was the president. We all know that.
No.
But now that instead of bringing him into accountability, what we got to do, we got to have pity for him.
It's the senile ex-president
with
cancer now.
And the thing about it is, I hope and pray he doesn't have cancer. Cancer's awful.
Yeah, right? I don't wish that.
But the problem is they probably had the cancer diagnosis a year ago. Prostate cancer basically is very slow.
Exactly.
Now they're saying it's an aggressive one. It's metastasizing to the bones. Now I hope it's not true. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But the point is, it's funny how they release that information when everybody starts realizing just how incredibly senile he has been and was for his entire presidency, and how many people feel and continue to feel and believe, and they're probably right, that Obama was running the doggone show for the last 4 years, pushing the DIE narrative, pushing the transgender narrative, pushing all the things that he pushed for 8 years. The problem we have now is since Trump can't run again for president, supposedly, we'll see what he does. I mean, he kind of does whatever he wants anyhow. He can't remember you know it's true. At that point, we'll have to figure out, you know, are we going to have another Democrat in? Because what these guys do, and Otto Kahn talked about it, and I've discussed it many times on the show, they have to move the football down the field.
It's a game. Mm-hmm. It's a game.
And so the goal is the Antichrist. Their goal is to have
the end zone. That's the end zone.
The end zone. So they're probably on the 40-yard line now, about 40 yards from making a field goal goal or whatever. And so they have to move it 5 or 6 yards, but there's so much blowback.
They know they're going to get pulled back.
They come back a couple of yards, but they still moved it 2 or 3 in the aggregate. And little by little, they move it, until finally they make a field goal or they make a touchdown. And suddenly the United States turns into, you know, a nightmare hellscape, which is becoming that very, very quickly. That's the goal. It's not all at once. They don't move it
fast. They can't. It would lead to a massive, massive conflict.
Well, they have to wait for all the baby boomers to be dead.
Yeah.
Now, they killed a crap load of them with the COVID shots and with the COVID itself. They killed a bunch of people over the, you know, who got born after World War II. And those are the ones who understood what nationalism was. Those are the ones that saw the parents were the ones that fought World War II.
Right.
Those are the ones who were taught to be Americans. Those were the ones who were taught to open a door for a lady.
Right.
Okay. They were the ones who basically taught to stand when a woman came into a room as respect. They were those. Those are the ones who were taught that the woman doesn't walk on the street. She walks on the inside of the guy. Those were the ones who were taught that a man never walks in front of his wife. He walks beside his wife as a partner. Those were those guys. They've got to get rid of all of them.
Yeah.
Now, they tried the best to do it, to basically take their Social Security away and to seize their, you know, their Roth IRAs with COVID shots and with COVID. Yeah. And they killed probably millions of people who were baby boomers from that. The sad part about it is it wasn't enough. There's still enough of us out there that say, hey, you know what? I don't quite want the United States to fall into a completely, you know, communist hellscape. I don't want that to happen. I'm going to sit here with my son, Austin, and we're going to talk about this mess all the time. And we're going to tell you the way things used to be and the way things should be, again, based upon the word of God and what, you know, like, you know, again, on Saturday night, I went to church and I sat at the altar and I prayed during communion for you guys and for my family. And I've learned over the years, if we all get on our knees and we pray in aggregate, we can change the fabric of space-time. It's how we do it. The problem is they don't want us to pray. You know, there was some concert up in Daytona this weekend, a rock concert. It was like all weekend, and it was a bunch of satanic stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend of mine that I know that had a friend who went to that, and they said it was unbelievably bad, the negative energy field.
Oh, I'm sure. That's what the concert was about, yeah.
And then one of their friends said to me, they said, we don't like it. And the friend said, well, if you don't like that rock concert, if you don't like what happened up there, then we don't need to be friends.
Wow, that's a bold move.
Well, that's my friend said, okay, bye. You know, because we're not going to play that game because, quite frankly, everybody has their right. And don't get me wrong, I like some of the old rock songs. I do. I have to admit that. From the 60s and the 70s. Those are the ones that don't have real satanic lyrics. The ones with satanic lyrics, stuff out of Black Sabbath and all that, never mind. I want nothing to do with any of that stuff. But there are a couple of pretty good songs back then. But, you know, a lot of the new stuff, Austin, is so unbelievably bad. It's horrific.
It is.
It really is.
And going back to what you were saying as far as moving the goalposts, because this is something that I have been a huge advocate about with the Second Amendment. You understand that because you've watched the Justice Department for the last 4 years literally throw the Second Amendment pretty much in the blender. I mean, they let ATF go completely ham on anything they want and try to ban everything. This is great news as far as us moving the ball back in our direction, so to speak. Justice Department settles and basically dismisses the lawsuit, allowing sales of the rapid-fire trigger device. This is
You're talking about the Hellfire again? Is that what this is?
This goes back to the Hellfire, the force reset triggers. So they're dropping it now. So back in 2022, this company called Rare Breed came out. And I actually tried some of the triggers and other ones now that have come out from this. They're called force reset triggers. They actually work really good if you know how to use them. They're not even close to a machine gun. They're not like shooting a machine gun. I've shot them before, everything in between on the sun. It's not like that. What it does is it forces the trigger to reset faster. So follow-up shots are unbelievably quick, especially double taps. They're pretty cool. And if you know how to operate them really well, you can have really fast follow-ups, especially if you have a comp on the rifle. And so ATF came in 2022.
What does a comp on the rifle mean?
Like one of the big compensators on the end that lets the gas blow out to the side so the force recoil. Okay. The force
Forgive me for not understanding all your vernacular.
Yeah, so basically the felt recoil is dismissed. It's better to keep your muzzle plane flatter. Well, Rare Breed.
So the gun doesn't jack up.
Right, exactly. Okay, it's real smooth transition, so you keep on
targeting. So in other words, when you shoot the gun real fast, it doesn't raise up on
That's
you.
That's right.
That's what he's saying.
That's what comps are for. Yeah. So Rare Breed Triggers came up with this design that had never been done before. They patented it. And so what it does, when you pull the trigger, the reset of the basically rifle cycling would force the trigger forward. So it'd reset.
It cuts the time in half.
Cuts the time. And it's so bad you do is all you had to do is keep a little bit of pressure on it and let the trigger pretty much reset itself. So your follow-up shots, when you come on double taps, I mean, it almost shot like a three-round burst. But it wasn't. It wasn't illegal. It was still not a machine gun. The trigger still reset. Well, ATF came in and said, we don't like this. We have now deemed that these are now illegal.
Chevron doctor, baby.
Yep. Nothing about the functioning of it being reset even followed in the classification machine gun. Nothing. ATF just goes, under our professional opinion, we think these are kind of like machine guns now, so we're going to ban them as machine guns, and we're suing Rare Breed. They went into Rare Breed and seized all their inventory, seized all their accounts, seized all their product, said this is a legal product. Rare Breed said, okay, we got some funding behind this now. You guys hold our beer, so to speak. They filed a massive lawsuit against ATF. I mean, and this is one of those, okay, how much money do you guys want to spend and how big of a, you know, horse's butt do you guys want to look like? And so they came in and they submitted all the evidence, all the material, said nothing about this is classified as machine gun. ATF said, we don't care. We're still banning them and we're making them illegal. Well, the Justice Department has looked at it now and they said, we're settling the lawsuit. And essentially, the department has agreed to discontinue the legal battle and dismiss all charges from them.
So now you can buy them.
Now you can buy them again.
So it's not like a hellfire where it's the trigger mechanism.
The trigger. So when you have one pull of the trigger, so if you pull a trigger, the round fires. You have to release the trigger to get the reset. What this does is it's a force reset. So when you pull the trigger, it causes the reset to be much stronger, push forward. So it almost shoots the trigger forward. So you pull it forward, and you pull it again. So they're a really cool item, but again, this is part of what we're talking about is we have to push back, because if we don't, they keep moving the football 5 yards, 10 yards, 15 yards. We got to push it back. This is why I'm so stoked about fluoride getting pulled out of the water supply in Florida. Fluoride getting pulled out of the medications now from the FDA. Food coloring getting pulled out of the food supply. The COVID shot now getting a ton of flack. There's an article right here. Top FDA official discloses she never received the COVID vaccine.
Well, that's smart girl, smart lady.
She's smart. Yeah. But now everybody's going, well, if the FDA officials aren't getting the shot, why did we get the shot?
First of all, the vast majority, and I'm just going to say this and go on record as saying this, and this is what I believe personally, the vast majority of these people who, quote unquote, went on TV to get these shots at these high levels, they were getting saline solution. Exactly right. There wasn't a shot.
You didn't know it was in the ampule. You didn't see the ampule. They walked up on TV and they're like, you're getting your COVID shot. Pull it down. Here's your shot. What was in the ampule?
It could have been saline.
It could be anything. You don't know what it was. They
could have been a B12 shot.
They could have taken a COVID ampule, pulled all everything out of it, flushed it back out with saline, and put water back in it. So it still looked like it was in the cup. You don't know what they did.
Or they could have just taken the label off of COVID.
And put it on another one.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. I mean, there was no looking into that. I mean,
there's no way. Well, they don't want their top people to fall dead on the street. You know, they want, look at Colin Powell. He took the shot. He died. Look at Larry King. He took the shot. He died. I mean, all these people that were high levels who basically believed the lie, who took the shot, who died, they didn't want that happening to Biden.
Well, now HHS says they're stopping all recommendation of the COVID shot, essentially to women, children, teens, pregnant women, pretty much everybody.
They said, are they taking it off the shot schedule?
They haven't got the shot schedule. They're not recommending now. They're basically saying don't get it. So apparently there's getting the shot off the CDC shot schedule, from what I've read, is a lot more difficult because it goes through so many processes to get approved for this. Once it gets on it, now they have to justify why they're taking it off of it and why it got put on the first
and
place.
And there's one more reason, too, because once it goes on there, the people who are administering it have full immunity.
That's true. Because it's now the CDC protection
It's under the vaccine compensation rules. So now they're saying, well, we can't take it off now because we're being protected by the vaccine compensation rules. So if you take it off right now, all people who got the shot, who've got problems, they're no longer allowable to go through the vaccine compensation.
They drop immunity on the shot now from them.
And to speak about another absolutely awful mess, the United States of America, this is by Paul Craig Roberts, as we have known it, has been destroyed by the U.S. Supreme Court. Interesting. Yes, the Supreme Court has just ruled that the worst murderers, drug dealers, gang members, and even those who are mentally insane who came into our country illegally are not allowed to be forced out without going through a long, protracted, and expensive legal process costing up to $17,000 per person that will take possibly many years for each person, and one that will allow these people to commit many crimes before they even see the inside of a courthouse. The result of this decision will let more criminals pour into our country, doing great harm to our cherished American public. It will also stop Donald Trump's mass deportation, period. It will also encourage other criminals to illegally enter our country, wreaking havoc and bedlam wherever they go. The Supreme Court of the United States is not allowing me to do what I was elected to do. Sleepy Joe Biden allowed millions of criminal aliens to come into our country without any process, but in order to get them out of the country, we have to go through a long and extended process. In any event, thanks to Justice Alito and Justice Thomas for attempting to protect our country, this is a bad
and
dangerous
two that ruled on it? Wow.
He goes, as I predicted, the liberal left committed as it is to the establishment of Sodom and Gomorrah, Tower of Babel, wow, uses the mindless judiciary, which they are, to protect rights of non-citizens who broke the law by entering the country illegal. These are non-citizens, remember that. Now they have legal rights. The judges define the preservation of America in terms of defending rights for illegals who are not U.S. citizens to use the U.S. courts to evade enforcement of U.S. law. No one knows where these American rights of non-citizens came from, but the morons on the Supreme Court are defending them. The Supreme Court's ruling against America in favor of illegal aliens reads like the babble of an insane asylum, which is what the court is. Instead of standing when judges enter the courtroom, they should be pelted with rotten tomatoes and rotten eggs. There is no reason to respect them, as they do not respect America or its constitution. Most of them are activists for overthrowing traditional America. The judiciary also created a fourth branch of government, the civil service or executive branch employees, who the judiciary has now made independent of presidential control. Yep. How about that? So 5 months into the presidential term, my prediction has come true that the Democrats, committed as they are to the replacement of the white racist Americans with people of color, would use the courts to defeat the will of the people as expressed in the presidential election. Americans do not realize, despite the overabundance of evidence, that they have been in a civil war for many years, that a civil war is underway, became completely and totally clear in 2016 and 2020 when during the Biden's illegal prosecutions of Trump and falsely accused and incarcerated insurrectionists, that the U.S. Department of Justice and federal courts should be used to imprison American patriots who protested a stolen presidential election, demonstrated for even morons to see that the Democratic liberal left was committed to overthrowing the United States of America. My gosh, is he right on this? I mean, unbelievable, Austin.
Yeah.
He's right on this. Where do these rights come from for these illegal gang rapers? Where do they come from? I mean,
I think the part about this is that you got to look at is, you know, if we were seeing, you know, very little influx in illegal immigration crime waves, you know, we didn't have individuals like Lake and Riley in Georgia being beaten to death with a rock right outside of, you know, Athens, Georgia University while she was going for a run at 4 p.m. If we didn't see cases like this starting to happen almost on a daily basis, if you want to look those up in the news, a lot of local news cover them. They don't make national news.
Well, they don't want to make national news.
They almost happen on a daily basis. It's like the COVID, when you put in the number of cases, you look up illegal immigration crime from illegals, it's happening. I mean, it's widespread across the country. And so I guess the part you got to ask yourself is, you know, what's the overall motive? Now, the only positive side of this is the justice is essentially, this wasn't a ruling of saying that it can never be done. They essentially blocked Trump, and they sent the issues back to the appeals court to decide the underlying questions. So essentially, the underlying appeals courts are going to be the ones this is going to be fought in. But the problem with this is we've had over 250 liberal judges put into place under Biden's
right.
The administration. And so it's something to be aware of and understand kind of what's happening. Also, too, this is another news story that I wanted to cover here. Because I saw this article going back to firearms. Two dead and at least three shot in Las Vegas gym shooting. Now, I saw some of the videos on social media. They're kind of rough. The guy came in, basically had a rifle, started shooting at gym people. They didn't figure out the whole motive of this yet. But then I had somebody send me a text this morning because a bunch of videos from people on the parking lot and stuff were put on social media. Interesting part about social media now with iPhones is people record everything. As he goes, whenever you go to public gyms, Austin, he goes, do you carry a firearm? Good question.
We have to put it in a locker.
No, absolutely. I'm not putting it in a locker. I have my gym bag. It's on or around my person the entire time. It's my personal. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not asking you the legality of it. I'm telling you that's what I do every time I go in there. And he goes, why? Why are you concerned about that? I said, how many people inside that gym do you think are carrying a firearm? Zero. I don't know anybody that does it. Not even the gym bag. Well, actually, I know two, the guys that I train with. And I said, if you want to talk about a soft area, an open, gigantic opening area where everybody's got headphones or earbuds in, nobody's paying attention to external factors, everybody's training at a busy, busy time in the morning or in the evening, and you got somebody that's a nutcase that wants to come into an area like that and start shooting at people, you're shooting fish in a bucket. Open area, nobody's focused, everybody's got, you know, earbuds in, nobody's carrying firearms. Dude, it's easy pickings. And so, again, that's just my opinion. This situation was horrific. My condolences to the family. Again, you got some other nutbag that comes in a gym, starts shooting people. Another reason why the Second Amendment is so important to maintain and have the ability. Whether or not you want to exercise it or not is not the point. It's the fact that it is extremely important for the right of the individual to be able to do so, because illegals and basically people that are trying to commit crimes don't follow the law. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't have the ability to defend yourself. And that's the big question that a lot of people have about this. Because speaking of that, Los Angeles County is now targeting retail theft with a new warning program. So Los Angeles and their infinite stupidity last couple years ago. Remember they said if it's under $1,000, you basically aren't arrested for it. It's like a basic misdemeanor, petty theft. You don't go to jail. So this is their new tactic. If you're having a problem with retail theft, we're giving you a yellow window decal with a QR code to put on your glass out front. Yeah. We're going to make sure that criminals know that, warning, this is a protected business. And thefts will be prosecuted. So this is their Infinite Wisdom. We're going to put a decal on the window so everybody knows it's a protected business and you're not supposed to steal stuff from it. Yeah, that'll. Good job, LA. You guys have really nailed it on the head with the best option there for this one.
By the way, this is an interesting story. My condolences to the people that died with this. But a Mexican ship with sails on it decided to crash into the Mexican bridge.
I saw that. What was that about?
Well, they had 150-foot masts on it, and apparently they can't clear the Brooklyn Bridge with those masts on it. But they decided to give it a try. I don't know. I mean, unless they lost control of the ship and it kind of drifted underneath it. I don't know.
Measures are measures, bro. If you're 150 feet and the clearance is 120, it doesn't matter. Your hopes and dreams. Physics is real.
Well, it's kind of like a, doggone, parody here. I mean, God, does the guy not know how high his mask is?
Bridge?
I mean, this is a pretty big structure.
This is one of those bridges. It didn't just pop up overnight. They didn't just put the bridge up last week and making sure people could clear it.
I mean, I really don't understand why this is happening and why that did happen, but, I guess it is what it is. Again, my condolences to the people who passed away on this. Oh, by the way, this article, I don't believe this. And I'll tell you what I do believe about it. It says, tattoos may be linked to cancer. Here's why.
I have a hard time believing that.
It says maybe. I don't buy it. He goes, I got tattooed during the time of my life when I wasn't fully informed of what was going in my body. Or while I was lying into my skin. Back then, I was about art and self-expression and creative identity. Today, I see differently. Tattoos are not harmless, boy wrote on Facebook. And so now a lot of people are saying that they can increase the risk of cancer. But the research on this is really, 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 it's kind of skewed as far as I'm concerned. The problem with this is this. I don't believe that if you increase your antioxidants and you have a good diet, that you're going to have a problem with getting cancer from a tattoo.
Right.
But here's the problem. A lot of people who get cancer from tattoos supposedly have lifestyles that are not conducive to health. A lot of them drink. A lot of them smoke. Now, they're not looking at that at all as far as the cancer hookup into this. So you got to see that. Now, not everybody who gets a tattoo drinks and smokes. I got that. But a lot of people that I know who do that basically party a lot. They really do. And a lot of them get tattoos when they're drunk, and they really don't know what they do.
That happens, too.
Yeah, it happens. Now, here's what I do think happens with tattoos. I think you can increase the heavy metal toxicity in your body. That I believe. Because of the ink colors and types of metals that are used in the ink. And I believe it could be linked to neurological damages of the person who is pregnant or who has a baby who's tattooed, gets pregnant with a baby development as far as with mercury or anything else that could be in that ink. I believe that too. So if I were you and I was going to get pregnant and you got a lot of tattoos, I would go in and get chelation done to help pull heavy metals back out of the blood. Now, they're saying now if you go in like get a pick a laser, you get the tattoos removed, but they have to be reabsorbed by the body. So it's a catch 22 with that too. They said that can increase further toxicity. So just be careful. If you decide you want to get a picture of a girlfriend or a dude that you're dating right now tattooed on you, you probably need to think. No.
Why is that the first one you go to?
Because I'm in the dating pools right now, which is awful. And all of a sudden now you're 10 deep in your dating pool and now you've got 10 more tattoos of different people that you went out with. You might want to think through that and go, just maybe this is not something that I want to do right now. Maybe I just need to say down, and if you're inclined to drink, which I'm not, you might want to say to somebody, here, hold my beer while I run
hold
to the
car. Hold my beer. Let me sober up for a minute.
I got to leave here for a second before I do
this. My roommate in college was a tattoo artist.
Which one?
Good tattoo artist. Heath.
Was that the gay guy?
No. That was not.
This is a funny story. Yeah. Austin has a roommate in college.
Are you going to tell the story? Am I going to tell the story? Were you there?
I'm going to tell the story about the gay guy.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to tell my version.
I didn't know he was gay when he was in there. We were in an 8-man dorm room. So we just got our 8-man, and I find out later on my roommate is gay. Not that I knew anything or personally saw anything.
What did I say to you?
But he first walked in, he's like, dude, your roommate gay? I'm like,
no, I didn't say that.
What'd you say?
I said, your roommate's gay. That's what I said. And I said, don't get naked in front of him.
Yeah.
Don't get in the shower around him. Remember that? I did. I told him. I said, the boy's queer.
Goes, I'm like, yeah, you got a point. I'm like, he does have some
behavioral. Then your response was, no, he's not gay. He's metro.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of guys at that college that were like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was funny, a lot of the guys at that college that were metro ended up being gay.
Well, then I'm
so he didn't come out of the closet after graduation.
Well, don't you remember, he came out of the closet. You met him one time. He's in full drag costume.
I did. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's besides the point.
I was right.
Gay roommates, whatever. He's got to deal with them if you have them sometimes.
Tell me about the other roommate. He's a tattoo artist.
He was pretty cool. Yeah, Double Sleeves, really, really good artist. I mean, incredible artist. I mean,
he didn't live at the college though. He lived at the
lived in my dorm room with me. He was my roommate. Yeah, so he was always doing crazy stuff. Double Sleeves, all color, really cool. Great, great artist, incredible artist. And so we, speaking of tattoos, I was going to get a full back piece done, big back piece. It was going to be really cool. And then he told me how many hours I was going to be in the chair. And he's like, and it was all the way down my spine. It was some pretty crazy elaborate stuff we're going to do in the back. He's like, yeah, you're going to be in that chair for like, you know, multiple sessions. And I'm like, well, that's miserable. I'm like, what do? When I sit in the chair, he's like, well, you sit there. Can I eat? He's like, you're probably not going to eat very much. You're doing this. I'm like, I can't eat. I'm like, can we take breaks? Can we go to the gym? He's like, no, you can't go to the gym. You're not going to be able to land your back very much either after it's done. Okay. I'm like, well, what about this and this and this? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you know what? I said, this just doesn't sound fun to me anymore. And then he told me the cost on it. And I was like, this really doesn't sound fun. I said, this sounds like a horrible ROI.
Tell him what the Marine Corps officer program said about tattoos.
Well, you have tattoos that can't be visible. You can't have any visible tattoos. So you have to be able to wear a short sleeve and not have anything on your arms. That's hence why I was going to do my back. But again, at the point in time in my life, I decided that probably wasn't something the best that I wanted to do, nor do I want to spend the money on it. But as far as, yeah, they've gotten more lenient now in the officers program, especially because almost all the operators that end up going into OCS that are operators, MARSOC, the Marine Raiders, those boys, a lot of them get tattoos when they're enlisted. And so they've given exemptions on that now.
So they come back in and get their college degree, then they go
correct,
back.
Correct, because a lot of them enlist and then they
well,
go
when you were going through it 20 years ago, they said no tattoos.
No, they had no tattoos on it, but they changed that tolerance because, quite frankly, you had so many guys that have been unbelievably good operators doing multiple tours and they want to become officers later on.
You always tell the operators when they're in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're always big. They're always in shape, and they're always like...
They're usually tattooed up.
And I remember that one guy just a few weeks ago. I was in the restaurant, the Acropolis of Ybor City, and the guy, they were sitting there talking, and they had a big, you know, make shotguns great again.
Yeah.
I'm like, myself, okay, that's great.
Great dudes. Great guys to be around. They'll train the heck out of you, too, especially even just weight training and endurance training. Those guys, their endurance is insane. If some odd reason, the Marines are just obsessed with running. They just love to run everywhere.
Well, it keeps that cardio.
I know, I'm joking, but it's always on foot, man.
Speaking of Marines, every European country is now reinstituting drafts. They want war, according to Martin Armstrong. Financial and geopolitical cycle analyst Martin Armstrong is back with an update on his big turn toward a war in Ukraine with Russia. 2 weeks ago on USAW, Armstrong predicted after May the 15th, war is turning up in Ukraine and it will be turning up into 2026. The prediction paid off to the exact day as peace talks between Russia and Ukraine ended on May 15th after just 2 hours. That's like a bad date. And neither side agreed to meet again. War is already here. And there's no stopping it with peace talks, Armstrong said. Putin knows and understands this is not just a war with Ukraine. This is a war with NATO. If Putin agrees to a 30-day ceasefire with Ukraine, what's that going to do? Absolutely nothing. You have every European country now reinstituting drafts. In Germany, even people 60 years old have been told to report. I guess I got to finish killing the Germans off. Poland has ordered every able-bodied man to show up for military training. They want war. Their economy is collapsing. You hear about the de-dollarization, and it's not happening. The capitalization of just the New York Stock Exchange is worth more than all of Europe combined. Wow. That's just the New York Stock Exchange. Then you've got Macron, in fact. They called him the Petit Napoleon. Without war, Europe is going to collapse. It is a sovereign debt mess. They have done everything against the economies, and that's the reason why Europe is such a mess, Austin, is because they do not have the reserve currency of the world with the euro, because it is still the dollar and it's what is traded internationally. The European Union does not have that, and the international banking cartels have signed the European Union on, particularly Germany, to pretty much a lot of the debt all over the world, especially in Greece, and force the German population to basically absorb this debt and sign off on it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there's no question about it. There's this whole thing. They want more conflict. Again, Lockheed Martin and Raytheon need to basically make more money. And so, you know, it's interesting, too, though, tying back to Supreme Court. I was looking at some articles on this, what they said. And then you got, you know, Tim Walz, little boy that he is.
I think he'd been friends with your roommate.
Yeah, exactly. He claims now ICE agents.
Not the tattoo roommate.
No, the other one, yeah. He's saying now that Trump's ICE agents are the modern Gestapo, chasing and hunting down people. Now, what's funny about this is I've listened to some of the arguments, right? I've listened to some of the arguments that come out. Say, well, the ICE is doing this. Okay, you've got to understand, we're like the only country in the entire world that allows people to sneak in illegally, do a bunch of messed up stuff, steal, rob, kill, destroy, sell dope. And then we go, oh, by the way, we're not going to kick you out. We're going to put you, you know, in like this pretrial release program. You're going to have a court date in 2 or 3 years, and we might sentence you. We might not. We might just let you go. In fact, many cases, these guys get let go on probation, and they just disappear.
This is why there cannot be mass deportations.
Well, then you got our friends on the other side of the pond, Saudi Arabia. A British father, 33 years old, has now been sentenced to 40 years in Dubai because he had a half a gram of cocaine on him.
Half a gram?
Half a gram of cocaine. 40 years in prison.
That's a bit excessive.
Well, this is Saudi Arabia, though. You can't even sell alcohol in all places.
They cut heads off.
Right. So it's funny when people want to say, like, the United States has a Gestapo because we're finding illegal aliens that are robbing and killing and stealing and we're deporting them. And Saudi Arabia goes, you had a little bit of blow and weed on you. 40 years in prison for you. And you're like, golly.
Well, look at Singapore. If you spit on the sidewalk of Singapore, right, they beat you with a cane until you're bleeding.
Tim Walz, why don't you go to some of these other countries and you can go lecture them about their policies? Because quite frankly, people that are killing people and robbing people and selling enormous amounts of dope. Or how about getting caught with 180,000 rounds of machine gun ammo in a box van driving up to Colorado? You heard about that story anymore? Nothing. I covered that story. A couple other alt media did. That thing disappeared. Got wiped off. Well, nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, you know, they have their annual beheadings in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, yeah.
At the beginning of the year, they always take everybody who they don't like and they whack their heads off with a sword.
Death penalty.
Yeah.
They're all about the death penalty.
No, they're not. They're not about the death penalty. They're about cutting heads off.
Well, that's the death penalty.
Well, I know it's the death penalty, but I mean, you know, there's one thing about getting a, you know, injection that lets you go to sleep. There's another thing, getting your head lopped off.
Well, the problem is, and this is a dark conversation on how
dark.
You still your brain still operates.
Don't do this. Don't go there. This is sick.
All right, I won't do it on this. It's Monday.
They tested
it. Look up the French Revolution with the guillotine studies.
No, what they did with the guillotine.
No. Let everybody, they would pick it up.
They would give these guys money for their families if an event that when they cut their heads off, that they would blink their eyes yes and no to questions they were answering them after they had been decapitated.
You told me not to go there.
I'm going there.
Oh,
you started it. And they found that a person.
Your brain still has blood in it.
For two to four minutes, they could still talk to people.
I think that's exaggerative, though, because the oxygen is going to be deprived. I think most of it was about 30 seconds, which that's still a long time.
Well, the problem is you're not dead for 30 seconds to 2 minutes. They're talking to you, you're hearing. You can't talk because you got no vocal cords. But the reality is you can still answer. I mean, this is horrible.
You want to go there.
Oh, no, this is awful. I can't believe you brought that up.
I didn't want to go there.
By the way, black fatigue goes viral. Everybody, including blacks, is tired of ghetto behavior.
Ghetto behavior.
Well, they had that big black woman with that ghetto behavior statue, and they're basically saying, oh, look at this.
It wasn't just because it had nothing even to do with the racial aspect. It's the fact that she's morbidly obese, and they're putting a statue of her up, and she was a figment of an imagination. So they didn't put a statue up of some, like, you know, somebody that was pro-black values or something.
Have you ever watched these black women fight?
Some of them hit pretty hard.
I mean, when they weigh 350, 400 pounds, they can whack somebody now.
Yeah, wait. That's why there's weight class in wrestling and boxing.
The progressive ideal is largely to blame for the monstrous creation that is ghetto culture. The idea that racial narcissism among blacks should not only be tolerated but celebrated has led to a surge in open animosity for societal rules and standards within the world. Far more than any of the group, the black community makes up the largest share of physical crime according to the percentage of the population. This includes robbery, aggravated assault, and homicide. For example, black Americans make up only 13% of the population but commit around 52% of all homicides, according to the FBI. The recent case of Carmelo Anthony comes to mind, a black teen who had been stabbing a white teen and killing him because the white teen allegedly pushed him, which he argues was a threat and made deadly force justifiable. The concept of disrespect as an offense that justifies murder is only one problem. There's an identifiable trend in theatrical sociopathy within the black community goes beyond the norm. The prevailing theory that is predominantly cultural, black Americans have the highest rate of single-parent households in the country, 50% of black homes compared to 20% of white homes in 2023, and most of these households are run by single mothers. As single mother homes are a notorious indicator of future criminality among juveniles. That is a fact, both white and black and Hispanic. And what's funny right now, we know of a case that's happening today.
Yes, going to trial.
Somewhere in the United States of America, we know about this case happening.
Well, I know the prosecutor.
Let's hear it.
Prosecutor. This is a funny story. I'll get into the supplement stack here in a second with the beet juice.
That was a great segue, by the way.
Yeah.
I really twisted it.
Yeah, you did.
Because the person is black.
So this is going
black female.
This is going to a trial today that I know. And it's an individual, a female, decided she was going to vandalize or key her ex-boyfriend's car. She's keying her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend's car. So guy and a girl, they broke up. He got a new girlfriend. His ex decided she wanted to key the new girlfriend's car.
Now, they offered her a plea bargain.
So the plea bargain deal was, okay, we'll basically dismiss everything, dismiss the charges, adjudication withheld, and you pay the $1,200 in body repair damage because it's like the hood and the front fender and all that. She goes, nope, I'm not paying it. I want to take it to trial. So the prosecuting attorney said, okay, we'll take it to trial. We're going to jury trial. So they worked it up. Now they're going to trial. They have six people on the jury. I think the whole jury's black because a whole individual's black boyfriend, black new girlfriend, black ex, just getting the facts out there. And it's going to go one or two ways on this. I'm very curious because I've never seen something this petty go to a trial. Even my buddy said that. He's like,
ghetto culture.
This is a petty trial. He's like, $1,200. He goes, worst case scenario for her, maximum penalty is going to be a year in prison with a year in probation when she gets out, and she still has to pay all court fines and court costs and the $1,200 to fix the car.
Or she could just pay the $1,200.
Have the case dismissed, adjudication withheld, everything's done, car gets fixed. She wants to get a jury trial. She wants to get it dismissed completely. I don't know how that's going to operate, but then I kind of think to myself,
I pose the question,
why am I paying for this with my tax dollars? That was the million-dollar question I had.
But let's talk about it for a second.
No. It's happening, no. So I am paying for it, so here we are.
No, let's talk about it for a second. This is going to be interesting because here's the deal. We've got a black woman, a black man, and another black woman.
Correct.
The black woman has keyed the other black woman's car because of the ex-boyfriend broke up with her and started dating somebody else.
Right.
Okay? Now, I can hear how this is going to go in the courtroom.
Now, all juries, because it's criminal, but six juries, that has to be unanimous?
To be unanimous because it's criminal trial. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is not a civil court. This is criminal. So that means all six of the black jury members have to vote that basically she was guilty of something that
and
needed to be punished.
Basically vote to throw in jail.
And now, here's the problem. The judge may try to instruct them and say, you have to vote on the charge itself that she did this to this car.
Okay.
You can't vote on this whether you think she was guilty. If you didn't think she was guilty, if you think it was justified, you have to vote on the fact, did she do this?
Let me clarify this. They have body cam footage of her admitting she did it to law enforcement. They have footage, the records of the eyewitness stating under deposition that she saw the other individual do this. So they got admission of guilt, they got body cam, and they got eyewitness.
Well, here's the problem. Now, I can't do this and use the bad language that would probably happen here in the jury as far as the testimony. But the black lady goes in here and now the lady goes, I'm going to testify.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, did you do this guy's car? He deserved it. He was seeing both of us at the same time.
Yeah.
And he's a swine. He's a pig. And he's
a cheater.
Yeah. And you people on the jury, you know what it feels like when your boyfriend does something like this. This is awful. And I showed you that I could be justified by doing this. And so I did it, but I'm not guilty for doing it. He deserved it. I administered a punishment. Now we got six women on the jury.
Now, if one of those jury members cheated on it, she's mad about it.
Oh, yeah. And so you got the six women on the jury. They go, she's right. This guy's a pig. And that girl's a pig for jumping on that boy and taking my boyfriend away. You know, this ain't right. Now, it doesn't matter what the trial says as far as finding them guilty or not guilty about doing the particular thing. She can go admit.
It's the jury now.
Now they got her on body cam footage admitting to it. But we got to find her not guilty because she doesn't deserve it because that man deserved what he got. And that girl deserved what she got. Takes one.
Interesting.
Now you got a hung jury.
Yeah. And so
because remember this, all attorneys do is assign blame.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Now think 100%. About what I said. That's it. That's all they do. They assign blame.
Who was the biggest to blame? What person? You know, who had 51% of the blame, basically?
Well, no. And so they could say, well, she's admitting to it because she's trying to protect her boyfriend. Her boyfriend keyed the new girl's car. Wait a minute. What did you just say, Ted? That sounds so twisted. Okay, I'll do it again. So her defense attorney gets up and says, she's telling you she did it. She ain't telling you the truth. She didn't do nothing. The boyfriend did it because he was mad at the new girlfriend. So we're assigning blame to the boyfriend. Oh. Well, no, this new girlfriend was mad and she did it to her own car. No. Well, now we've assigned blame to the new girlfriend. Now we've assigned blame to the boyfriend. And she's just trying to cover up for this boyfriend because she wants him back. Well, now everybody's confused.
I was about to say, everybody's like, what?
And now they're like, we don't know who did what to who now. Remember, Jerry Spence was great about that.
Yeah.
He said, just let me have him get in front of the jury. All we're going to do is sign blame.
Yep.
I know Jerry Spence. He's a great guy. Kind of a foul mouth where he was. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Man, he's a great attorney. But I tell you what, though. All you do as an attorney is sign blame. You have to create reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt is 101%. 101% that boy did it to his girlfriend's car. 101% that girl did it to her own car trying to get this new girl in trouble.
And eyewitness is lying about it.
And 100%. Like, yeah, and the one who's confessing to it, she didn't do nothing. She's trying to get the boyfriend back. Dismissed. You got yeah. The judge would be sitting here going,
go home.
Everybody just get out, case dismissed.
It's true.
It all depends on what's allowed in the courtroom.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to as far as what can be talked about.
And if the judge can convince the jury that they're not trying to determine whether or not, you know, it should have been done or shouldn't have been done, just if it was done or not. But now you create reasonable doubt on who did it.
Yeah.
How do you know she's not lying? How do you know she's not protecting that boyfriend? She wasn't back. Ooh. Yeah, he's right. He's right. I want my man back, too. That woman.
And the eyewitness is jealous. They were dating. Everybody's dating. She wanted the man, so she's going to blame it on the ex.
Again, all it is when you're an attorney is basically deciding on who's going to assign blame. Oh, Clintons now are under fire again by Donald Trump, who already told us that Clinton were good people, which they're not. And Vince Foster, James McDougal, Seth Rich, Trump posts a wild Clinton body count clip. There's two videos, if you can still find them, that Jerry Falwell did back in the 90s when Clintons were president. It was Clinton's Circle of Power and the Clinton Chronicles. Those two videos. If you can watch them on YouTube, if they're still around, send them to me, and I will post them on the Health Masters website. The Clinton Chronicles and the Clinton Circle of Power. And Jerry Falwell went in and talked about all these people that died, over 100 of them now, who had worked
connected
inside of the Clinton ring.
Yep.
So this is something that's been pretty big. Now, you think, well, Hillary Clinton wouldn't do that. Really?
You remember the guys that were assigned to Clinton's task force, his protection force?
Waco.
Some of the main guys that were the top raiders at the ATF.
In Waco. And they were shot in the back of the head.
Yep.
They were shot by their own men.
There was rumors. Again, I wasn't at Waco and the Ruby Ridge, or not Ruby Ridge, the Waco, Texas invasion with the Branch Davidians. I wasn't there, so I can't tell you that I was. But I do know there was a lot of very strange things about that first raid.
If you were there, you'd have been very young.
Yeah.
I could have been there.
You could have been there.
But I wasn't there either.
Yeah.
But the Clinton,
April 20th.
And remember, Larry Nichols said that Hillary was basically a Sabbatean witch. And every 6 weeks, she would leave the governor's mansion in Arkansas and go back to California to meet with her witch's coven. Well, if she's a witch and she's doing all kinds of weird things, I don't think she has a real high moral standard of what she will and won't do, between me and you. And so, quite frankly, do I believe the Falwell tapes, the Clinton Chronicles, and the Clinton Circle of Power? Absolutely, yes. So that's, if you guys could find them for me, I will repost them on the
April
website.
April 19th, 1993, also known as the Waco Massacre.
You were five.
51-day siege ended on April 19th, 1993, when the FBI launched CS tear gas. If you've watched the actual footage of it, it's insane
horrible
what they did to that siege.
All those children died.
Pumped CS gas in and then allegedly ignited one of the tanks, the fuel tanks on the backside.
They had tanks with flamethrowers on them, Austin.
With the big CS pump nozzles on it. They were going through and tearing the siege down. Remember, this was when there were still 76 Branch Davidians in the compound. Actually, 76 died. Excuse me. There were more than that. There were over, I think, 100 people in the compound still at the time of the fire. It's 76 died, including 28, I think, that were children.
Well, that makes sure that Mary Clinton said they did it to save everybody and they killed
them. It was to protect the kids.
Yeah.
That's what they did. It was to protect the children. Because remember, instead of ATF arresting, basically, Kevin Koresh,
who
was in town at the bars for the machine guns, allegedly.
And then Clinton says, after all this is over with, he goes, hold my beer. I'm jumping on the Epstein jet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go do some perverted stuff down on the island now, right?
Oh, and then that wasn't enough. Then the FBI and ATF said, hold both of my beers. We're going to go raid Ruby Ridge with Randy Weaver because he sold us a shotgun and didn't want to comply. So we sawed the barrel off and then got permission by the ATF agents and FBI agents to go start doing unwarranted surveillance. Oh, by the way, we shot his 14-year-old in the chest with one of our snipers.
And we blew his wife's head off.
His 14-year-old shot our agent, too, though, and shot, you know, we shot his dog while we're at it. And then we had the FBI agent that shot Victy Weaver in the face.
Sniper shot.
76251, I think, from 300 meters. Cratered her entire skull while she was holding her baby in the chest. Hold the baby. let her body lay in the house for days.
And they won a lawsuit, and they got money for it, but his family was still dead.
Family's still dead.
And Weaver's dead now,
it
too.
It doesn't matter. You give you $100 million.
They only gave a couple million. And he went downtown and bought everybody a beer. Just went through the money. He was so devastated.
Well, he wrote that book, too. And he said, well, this is all for what?
For what?
What was this for? What was this for? Because you guys had a bone to pick with me because I didn't want to comply because I was getting on radio and talking about how corrupt the government was because it killed 76 women and children. That was one of his big topics he was vocal about. Was the
Do you remember, what, remember when we were there in that town and we went to the police office? We did this, by the way. Shoss and I went over there and we found out where this was, and then we had heard there was a FEMA camp there.
Yeah.
Remember that? And so we went up to it was in Idaho, and I remember we went up to the sheriff's department. And we rung the doorbell, and they wouldn't answer the door. And they looked at the camera, and we said, we want to ask you guys about the FEMA camp.
Yeah.
Man, it was like,
we couldn't get anybody to come to the door until then.
And we said that out loud.
Off the intercom.
And all of a sudden, it was instantaneous. They're out the front door. Well, there are no FEMA camps here.
Yeah.
I mean, remember that?
We want to ask you about the, you know, Randy Weaver. We don't discuss anything about that at all. Okay. Then when we went to one of the restaurants, mm-hmm. and we talked about it, oh man, they were still mad about it.
And they said, we refuse to serve
the FBI
in this restaurant.
They'd come in and sit down. All the waiters and waitresses would say, sorry.
Closed.
No shoes, ATF or FBI badge, no service.
But boy, oh boy, did they show up quick at that door when we asked that question through that intercom.
It was like that, bro. They wouldn't even open the door. We're knocking on the door.
Can you believe that Austin and I do stuff like this before the show was even on?
Yeah,
way back
before
14
media,
years
all that
ago.
Was 2011, yeah.
So we went out because we wanted to know. We wanted to know what was the name of
that
town.
Well, there was all those rumors. You guys remember 15 years ago, all the alt media was talking about these giant FEMA camps.
What was the name of that town?
Eagles.
No, it was something else. Branch Davidian town. What's the name of that?
Well, that wasn't Branch Davidian. That was Waco. Randy Weaver.
Yeah.
Or not Randy. Yeah, Randy Weaver up in
Randy Weaver town.
He was in the Ruby Ridge area.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What was the name of that town?
The exact town was right beside it. Anyways, well,
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, so four supplements that boost endurance performance: the beetroots, which is a really popular one. We get probably, in my opinion, because you guys know I'm picky as I'll get out when it comes to Rawls. We get probably one of the best beet juice.
It's all organic,
non-GMOs. Remember, you gotta get beets that are non-GMO. Beets absorb enormous amount of nutrients out of the ground. When you spray beets with glyphosate before harvest, those roots, because they root, it absorbs all that glyphosate right to the beetroot, which is exactly what you eat. It's not like it just stays on the leaves. It goes right to the root. So you got to make sure you get non-GMO. You got to make sure they're high quality. Germany's got the strictest rules with this. Beet juice increases nitric oxide. Now, if you want to get a pump, all get out pump. Stack the HGH Stimulate with the beet juice powder. And I'm talking, you will get an unbelievable pump between the arginine, the citrulline, the quercetin, all the beetroot. The beetroot promotes more mitochondria, as far as more productive mitochondria. In a systematic review published in Nutrients, mitochondria plays a central role in endurance by breaking down carbohydrates and fat obtained from food into ATP. We talk about this all the time. So when you stack the beetroots like that, and then you go in and you basically stack the HGH Stimulate, double-blind randomized study, beet juice allowed elite runners in their mid-20s to endure longer before tiring. They know that 15 days of beetroot supplementation, runners experience substantial improvements in delaying exhaustion. Next one is caffeine. You guys already know. The green tea extract is incredible in this. It doesn't make you crash. It doesn't make you jittery. It doesn't get you all geeked up. I mean, I remember there's an old pre-workout back in the day.
Oh, my gosh.
It's called Jack 3D.
Don't promote that.
I'm not promoting
it. I'm sure
it got banned now.
Oh, yeah.
The original formulas got banned. It got banned years ago. And we couldn't figure out why all of us, when we take it, back I was 19, 20 years old, we all were unbelievably aggressive for that year when we took that product. I mean, we were mean. Great workouts. Stupid workouts. And then later on,
they banned it.
Congress comes in and goes, well, we've investigated 5-D dimethylamine and Jack 3D and a few other products, and we found that this is a rebranded form of methamphetamines.
Whoa.
It basically was a restructured chemical formula of meth. And we were like, that's why we were all so mean. And then we got to a point where it was like, we wouldn't work out without it. I'm not joking. We would not work out without it. We're like, oh, I got to have a Jack for
Me. My first I've ever heard of this, by the way.
I didn't talk about this much. It was legal. You bought it on the shelf. You ordered online. And then finally, Congress came in and said, yeah, we're cutting this out. This is
Well, he fed her with the same thing.
What happens people have heart attacks on it?
People,
on that
people dying.
Jack 3D.
Yeah.
He had multiple guys in the Army and the Marine Corps that have heart attacks during PT. And they're like, where are they taken? We'll take Jack 3D. It's like two scoops where they work out. Well, yeah, when you go on a three-mile ruck and you just ingest an enormous amount of meth, has a tendency to kind of cook the cardiovascular system.
Man, your heart must be framming, boy. But that crazy, that stuff was it was.
I have to admit, it was probably one of the contributing factors to my pericarditis in my 20s. I did get pericarditis like he did in my 20s, and it was from a massive overuse of stimulants like 5-D-dimethylamine.
Was it Ruby Ridge?
Yeah.
What was it about town, though?
I don't know, but you're still on that.
I can't
count.
Find it.
I'm over here working out. We're talking about rebranded meth and
well,
the old Jack 3D formula.
I'm talking
about beet juice powder, purple sticks, and we're going back to Ruby Ridge. I mean, great. I talk about it all the time. Another one on here on this list here too: branched chain amino acids. Excessive soreness from exercise can deter many from pursuing physical active lifestyles. 2021 review studied on aminos goes into detail on how BCAAs are known for reducing inflammatory muscle markers that cause soreness. And one thing about this aspect of the 2001 meta-analysis, 9 studies found that the BCAAs consistently decrease muscle damage and soreness. For older adults, the BCAAs offer more benefits, including improved strength and muscle mass. That's why our formula on here, the Muscle Blast formula, is
great,
such a good formula for maintaining overall lean muscle mass as people get older. And also, too, basically it goes in now. Where did I? Muscle Blast. Here we are. Go down. We've got my products here. Muscle Blast. There it is. I'm sweating, man. It's hot in here. You're all riled up. That double purple stick guy.
No, you run into your house with a doggone boots on.
I needed a shaker. By the way, I got new shakers coming. Everybody's been asking me about these. We got some black tops. We got red tops. We got new black tops coming in. I like to try different ones. The problem is the pricing of them has gotten so crazy. I got quoted the other day. They want like $16 wholesale for a shaker. And I'm like, yeah, at least shave a couple dollars off. I mean, I can't even sell them. That was like my cost. I'm making like $2 on them, which after I pay for shipping and handling and overhead, I mean, especially if you get free shipping, I'm losing money on them. So I got more shakers coming in, really good ones. Everybody likes these lids that work a little bit better than the last batch. So I got more of these coming in if you guys want them. Mixes up with the Muscle Blast and the Purple Stick, great. So be sure to check that out. It's a great amino acid formula. You found that city yet? You want me to go to the next health topic? I'm about to. Actually, we're out of time. Thank you guys for enjoying the show.
We've got 3 minutes. You're so geeked up, man. That was a second purple stick, wasn't it?
Third
purple stick? Okay, guys.
It's Monday, bro.
Don't do what he does. 3 purple sticks is too much.
Dude, it's good. I'm hot. Sweat over here.
1 or 2 is good, but you need to stagger them a little bit. This thing's got 100 milligrams of caffeine each. But the good news is, as far as what we can tell, they don't elevate cortisol. You know what's something funny about this? This is interesting. When you use green tea for caffeine instead of coffee,
oh yeah,
and you cut out the coffee, and you use this product instead, which you can see how hyped up he is.
That kicked
in. You will lose 5 to 10 pounds of fat the first month from the reduction of cortisol.
Oh yeah, and the caffeine and the beta and the maca root, all this stuff that we add in here. If you look at the ingredients on it, the Mahdi extract with the green tea, and especially the super fruit blends, which actually the antioxidants help lower cortisol. It'll actually help you burn fat too, especially if you take one of these on an empty stomach before fasted cardio. There's only 5 calories in these guys. 5 calories. Fasted cardio with Muscle Blast and this in the morning. Drink it. Go get some light cardio. Remember, fasted cardio first thing in the morning is not designed to be a sprint or HIT training. It's slow, consistent cardio, whether you want to walk around your block, whether you want to get on a treadmill,
you want to tell them what hormones release with that?
With what?
Glucagon.
Oh, as far as burning fat.
When you do fasted cardio and use that purple stick, it releases a lot of glucagon, which burns body fat.
Blood sugar,
especially internal fat and belly fat.
Yep.
This product works great. And I do take 2 in the morning on an empty stomach when I get up, along with my turmeric and my vitamin C.
And then if you really want to do it, you can add the ProCut Core in, which is one of our great fat burners out of Switzerland. This product's very, very good, and it actually helps the body reduce absorption of carbohydrates and excess fats in your diet when you're eating it. So if you're eating really lean, it'll have your body basically burning more body fat with the ingredients that are in it instead of trying to store them as body fat.
Man, the Swiss people make good products.
Yeah, Swiss. I mean, just about everything Switzerland does is good. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they make just about everything.
You know, one time I went over there, and I was over in Geneva, and I asked to do a Rolex factory tour.
Did you really?
It doesn't exist.
No, I was about to say, when did you do that?
I would have loved to have done that.
I don't think they do it. They're like, no,
oh, no.
You don't see nothing.
Well, they
got to
be a watch guy. They don't be bugged if somebody looking through my glass.
Hey, what are you doing there? Guys, I appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We got a lot of productive stuff to get done Monday. So if you need anything, call us, email us, grab your products on sale. HH Stimulate, one more day as product of the week. You guys have a great evening, my friends. I appreciate y'all.
Oh, by the way, I mentioned to you earlier that I prayed for you Saturday night in church. It's my pleasure and my privilege to do that. I consider all of you to be my friends. You're my family. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for your great emails. I just appreciate you, and I just am so in awe that you guys listen to the show. Thank you so much. I love you.